Hello, and welcome to the Matthew Clark Interviews podcast, where we sit down with the industry's key figures. Today, we're talking to James Downs, owner and vineyard manager at Channon Vineyards, situated in a beautiful Elgin Valley, with mountains on their western boundary and a peninsula dam forming the eastern boundary. The Elgin Valley has long been regarded as the apple and pear centre of South Africa, but now is some of the country's most highly regarded winemakers establishing vineyards in the area, testament to its obvious winemaking potential. Thank you so much for having me out here today, James. It's a beautiful view. It's absolutely stunning and a bit of sunshine, so that's very nice.
It's a good thing, yeah.
Now, a couple of questions just to start. It's quite a brotherly endeavour here at Channon because yourself and Stuart work quite closely together. So you're looking after the vineyard and Stuart focuses on marketing. What is it like working with your brother?
Quite easy, actually, because I'm the earth child and Stuart's the marketeer. It's amazing in agriculture. The eldest firstborn son is always the taller, better looking older brother, and is always normally made the face of the business in terms of selling the produce, and in this case wine, and the second is always the shorter, boring one that the family hides in amongst the orchards or the vineyards, which is me. So I'm like the kind of Danny DeVito lookalike, and don't leave the farm much, but I'm not great at traveling, I'm not great at leaving the farm, and Stuart is brilliant at selling fridges to Eskimos. It's got the gift of the gab, so it's a very good combination. It's always lots of fun when we do trade shows together because we have a lot of banter. It's an absolute pleasure. It's lots of fun.
Yeah, you don't see him too often.
No, he doesn't live on the farm, thank goodness, because he's not a farmer, he's a marketeer. Let's say no more, because I'm sure quite a few marketeers are listening to this. Stu plays his golf. I do a lot of fishing on the farm, but he needs to be close to market. It works that he's in some sort of ways closer to the airport, so he's literally 45 minutes away from flying around the world, and I'm on the farm and amongst where it all happens.
Yeah, fair enough. I think the great uniting factor between the two would be the passion of really maximising the potential of the Elgin Valley, where we are right now. What is it that you really see in the region that gives you this great relief of producing such amazing wines?
I think people tend to forget that we have an historic wine production dating back many years. And if you go back to maps from the 1905, 1920s, there's always a small vineyard parcel on a farm. The last kind of semi-commercial vineyards were pulled out in the 60s, 70s for apples. Our father was trained in viticulture as a young man and wanted to get a job on a wine farm, get a job on an apple farm. And born and bred in the Elgin Valley, we've always had this firm belief that Elgin has the goods to produce top quality wine. So when neighbors and friends started getting involved in wine production, and funny enough, on another property, my father planted vineyards back in 1978. And a very well-known winemaker bought those grapes and made fantastic wines from those Elgin grapes. We knew the how. The question was where and when. And we just needed the right opportunity to arise for that to happen, which happened in 1997 when we bought this property. Mm-hmm. Realizing it was great for apples and pears, but had a top section to the farm, it would be fantastic for wine production. I'd say about 15 years ago, vineyards were probably leading with infrared technology and mapping. I think the tide has now turned and the apple and pear industry is now leading from a technological perspective. And because we touch both, we can pull from apples and pears and utilize that in vineyards. So we're doing some stuff in vineyards now that the vineyard guys don't know about because they don't happen to have apples and pears and they're not exposed to that information.
Yeah.
So it's a real win-win scenario, and also having the infrastructure for both.
Mm-hmm. Right, so looking at specifically here, the mist, we briefly spoke about it earlier today. I understand that is really a key element to the work here. Can you talk a little bit about the effects of this?
Yeah, the mist, obviously it's symbolised in our branding, the swirl in our logo. And what the mist represents is fundamentally diurnal variation, and we get that diurnal variation expressed as mist, where we have a drop in air temperature to such an extent where it is much cooler than the water temperature in the Palmet River watercourse, which runs down our eastern boundary. And that warm water then releases this mist effect during the early hours of the morning from 4 till 6 o'clock. So when you arrive at work at the office at 6:15 in the morning, the entire eastern boundary of the farm is covered in this mist. And the reason why we then have diurnal variation is because we have altitude, being up in the mountain range, the Elgin mountain range, and proximity to the ocean as well. So we are warmed up during the day, bike being close to the coast. We have the southeasterly prevailing summer wind, which brings in warmth but not heat, dries out the vineyards, but then the altitude at night creates this effect of diurnal variation, which is amplified by the watercourse drawing the cold air down from the mountain range, which all kind of like congregates where we are in the Elgin Valley. And on many mornings, you arrive to work in this romantic environment surrounded by mist.
This is South Africa's first UNESCO protected region, containing hundreds of unique plant species. I understand conservation and a connection with nature plays a really a key role here. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the big thing about the biosphere is, I'd say the key word is diversity, biodiversity. It's a bit of a catchphrase at the moment. And what makes this unique, this biosphere unique, is that we have both an agricultural area falling within it. We have light industrial, which is parts of the Elgin town. And then we have buffer, which is the boundary area of the agriculture and the biosphere. And then we have a core zone in the middle of the biosphere, which is completely untouched natural vegetation. And the interaction between nature conservation and commercial agriculture has really led to this belief that one needs to maintain a biodiversity in your patch of dirt, your farm, to engage with as many bugs and insects and animals and plants as possible. And a lot of what we do viticulturally and also with regards to pomology in the orchards is to maintain this abundance of biodiversity. We feed the soils to feed the micronutrients, to feed the vines, etc. We try and stay clear of monocultures as such, which is an old commercial practice.
Mm-hmm. So besides all of these plant species, all of the vegetation around here, there's a lot of local wildlife as well. Do you have many run-ins with this local wildlife? Because you've got porcupines, cape foxes, baboons even.
I had a cape fox as a pet, and he loved boiled chicken and rice with turmeric rice, yellow rice. So I had him as a pet for about a year. And our local baboon troop, we've actually got two. One's 65 strong, and the other one's about 25 to 30 strong. They're apex predators, so they're very important in expressing the health of our environment, in such that the day that the baboons disappear is the day that something has gone wrong, where the environment isn't able to sustain the healthy population of baboons. It's the same with lynx. It's the same with, we have a very common snake here called the puff adder snake. It's like a rattlesnake. We had our most abundant summer has been 24 puff adders in one season, and they feed on frogs. And frogs are the best indicators for water quality. Being amphibian, they obviously, if the water quality dips, they die out very quickly. So the more snakes we have, the more frogs we have, the better our water quality is. So that's the same with the baboons. The more healthy the baboon troop, the better the generic overall environment is. So it's a very important environmental indicator for us, the health of our apex predators.
Yeah. So now, without fermentation, obviously, you won't live wine. You can have amazing grapes, but you'll need to actually make the wine as well. And I believe that you work with a husband and wife winemaking team. So we've got a brother connection as well as a husband and wife connection. So Gordon and Nadia Newton-Johnson produce your wines. How does the relationship between the vineyard and the cellar work?
Well, I think taking the step back, they're also a family business. So they've also got a an old man that's been in the industry for yonks, for 100 years plus, no, I mean, for 30, 40 years. Bevan, Gordon's older brother, is also head of marketing, so he's also the blue-eyed surfer boy. And I can say it because we speak the same language. And then Gordy is the earth child. He's like me. So he's also in the vineyards, in the cellar. We focus on core production. We speak the same language. And then added to that, we have the benefit of the yin and the yang, having husband and wife in the cellar. Gordy's more artistic. Nadia's more science-based and very, very diligent in record-keeping. And it's amazing seeing them operate in the barrel cellar. I sit in on all the blending exercises to sign off the final blends. And it's just amazing to witness the two of them working together. And myself as the viticulturist, creating a point of reference from where the fruit came from to put the final wines together. Mm-hmm. So it's a very successful partnership. And we've been working together since 2003.
I think your wines really have, you know, a sense of place here in the Elgin Valley. Now, if someone is unfamiliar with the Elgin Valley and its wines, how would you describe the region and what to expect in the wines from here?
Elgin is internationally known as being the fruit basket of South Africa. So the main emphasis there would have been apples and pears. And our fruit is internationally recognized for the purity of fruit expression. So clean, fresh fruit. And that stems true with the wine varieties we have here. I think the main core focus is really capturing that fruit expression in bottle, and then obviously on the back of it being cool climate. So low alcohol, a more of a mineral stone, wet stone kind of expression, good natural acidities. The wines have great aging potential. They're not going to be your big blockbuster showy styles of wine. We tend to veer away from a high percentage of new oak. And in doing so, we're trying to put Elgin first. Minimal intervention in the cellar to really maximize the fruit expression coming from the vineyard. A lot of work's done in the vineyard to make sure we deliver top quality fruit to the team in the cellar, and we keep it as authentic as possible.
Mm-hmm. So we've got two white wines from Shannon, the Semillon as well as the Sanctuary Peak Sauvignon Blanc. Could you tell us a little bit about these two wines?
When we planted our Sauvignon Blanc, we planted both Bordeaux clones and Loire stroke Sancerre clones. And in making our first vintages, we realized that our style of Sauvignon Blanc was more Bordeaux style, if one can put it that way. So we've always then, on the back of that, added a component of Semillon to our Sauvignon Blanc, known as the Sanctuary Peak. And the reason why it's named Sanctuary Peak is really to give emphasis to the fact that it's not your everyday Sauvignon Blanc. The idea by having a backbone of Semillon means it's got great aging potential. It's going to have a broader palate to it, a little bit more grunt and structure, and food friendly over time with great aging potential. A lot of Sauvignon Blancs produced these days are for mass production, quick consumption, quaffing wines, and we're a little bit more serious about our product. Mm-hmm. And then the Semillon itself, it was planted to work with the Sauvignon Blanc, and in 2010 we had some juice left over and did a single bottling of the Sem, and all our winemaking friends, it was the go-to wine at barbecues. We knew we were onto a good thing, and we have since then produced about 800 cases a year. Mm. Which is very different to the rest of the Semillons from South Africa, sorry. Which are from warmer regions. So mm-hmm. That's a point of differentiation between the rest of South African Semillons and our Sem.
Yeah, really reflecting the cooler climate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about the reds? We've got the Chenin Merlot, Roquefort Rich Pinot Noir, as well as the Mount Bullet.
So we have a generic Pinot and a generic Merlot. And then our premiums are the Roquefort Rich Pinot Noir and the Mount Bullet Merlot. And when we developed the farm, the big question was, is it more Pinot or is it more Merlot? Is it more Burgundy or is it more Bordeaux? And, you know, in doing due diligence in agriculture, you've got to spend 15, 20 years before it actually happens. So initially, when the vineyards were young, the Pinots really stood out. And when the vineyards started getting a bit of maturation and started to settle, the Mount Bullet now is really standing out. And what's nice is that we, because we're true to sense of place, we like to show vintage variation. So in some years, the Pinot has a bit of an edge to it. Some years, the Mount Bullet has the edge. Mm-hmm. It's just a nice talking point. And, you know, if you go to all the great big domains or chateaus, you go to Burgundy, to a domain, you speak to the 85-year-old old man in the corner, he'll be able to tell you a story about every vintage for the last 40, 50 vintages, because mm-hmm. they have vintage variation. They tell a story. And that's what we're wanting to do with our wines as well.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think would then be the future here for yourself and for Shannon Wines?
Good question. The Valley is pushing a lot of Pinot and Chard. We obviously have Sauvignon Blanc and Semillon in the ground. It's doing very well, so we'll try and maximize that as much as possible. We are doing a white border blend called Kapal Ban, which we'll be releasing soon on the back of that. We have planted Chardonnay, so we'll have a mini Burgundy offering of a Chardonnay Pinot, and also a border offering of a Sauv Sem Bordeaux white with the Mount Bullet, which is our Bordeaux red. And work with those four varietals. I mean, it's very difficult to crystal ball gaze in the wine industry and say what's going to be hot in 10 years' time. Yeah. We're just going to go with the flow and the vineyards that will dictate the story. Yeah. Whatever's successful, we'll roll with.
Yeah, still keep on experimenting, though, with the vineyards. Okay, now, a final question in that case, and this is quite a hard question, asking about your favourite kid, basically. But what would be your favourite wine from the wines that you produce, and how would you suggest it to be best enjoyed?
Yeah, we always ask this question, aren't we? And it is like comparing to your children. You know, children have their place, and certain children perform better in different environments. So if you've got a child that's great at rugby and there's a rough and tumble and you need somebody to, you know, hold up the family flag, you take your rugby playing son to a rugby match and he does well. So if I go to a barbecue with winemaking friends and I want to impress my buddies, I'll take the Mount Bullet. I know it'll stand up to all their red wines. If I'm having a quiet, reflective moment, it's like you want to be with one of your children that's quieter and you want to go sit next to the river and cast a line in the water, take a Pinot Noir. I think it depends on the occasion, really. You can't really pinpoint. And I mean, but that is wine. It depends on what you're pairing it food-wise and on the occasion. Mm. And it's the same with the whites as well. The Sauvignon Blanc is it's more approachable to a wider range of friends. The Semillon is a little bit more academic. So it just depends on the occasion.
Fair enough. Well, I think that's a wrap for us then. Thank you so much for having me here today. It's been an absolute amazing day.
It's been a pleasure. Yeah.
Thank you.
To find out more about Shannon Vineyards, visit the Matthew Clark website or speak to your account manager. And join us next time when we will be talking to Davide from Cellar Mosca.